Hello, this is Ram Cunningham, and this is Ram Asks a Question, all a part of the One Prez Pod. This is where I will ask a question about faith that maybe you would like to ask, and Phil and Tasha answer.
Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome to the One Prez Pod. It's me, Phil Blackburn.
And Ram Cunningham. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Ram. If you're here, that means...
Ram has a question.
Ram has a question.
That's right. It's the One Prez Pod. Ram, ask a question. Well, we're bouncing around the mill today in different areas of the mill doing our podcast. This is what's so great about this building is we can go anywhere.
We can go anywhere. Except the rooms that are reserved,
exactly.
Ram.
Exactly. And there are many of them reserved today. You'd think today would have been a good day, a rainy Thursday. Yeah. But au contraire. Well, today, Phil, my question today is, it's funny, each week in the sermons and Sunday school, it is just amazing how much better of a listener I'm becoming.
So
I want to thank you and Tasha for that. I really am. I'm becoming a better listener because I think in the past, my mind goes so fast that I try to answer questions before they're even talked about, but I'm getting so much better about listening and I take notes and it's great. But last week's, I want to say sermon / Sunday school, they kind of went hand in hand in certain areas. It was talking about kind of our walk with faith, and we got into back in the day where there were the monks and how the monks kind of lived a life of celibacy. They went off the grid, so to speak, which I've always thought back 200, 300 years ago, what is off the grid?
Yeah.
Isn't that off the grid?
Yeah. The whole world was off the grid.
Right, we're all off the grid. So my question is, in our walks with faith, I know that in one way I hear that we gather as a people, as a church, and we walk hand in hand together with God, or do we go at God alone? Or I guess more the question is, should we go at God alone first so I, myself, have an understanding of what we're doing here, and then I join the people and we do it together? It feels like that's in some ways back in the day that when they did decide to go off the grid and just go away and connect spiritually with God, first off, I have a little problem with that simply because of the luxury of being able to do such a thing and how much I would love to just say, Phil, I'll see you in 60 days. I'm going to go off the grid. Can't really do that. But I also think that my faith is strengthened by coming to church, by being in person, by not being watching online. I like to watch it online when I need to do that. But being there and being around everyone else is how I think it's better. But my question is, certainly people do both.
Yep.
You do it solo, you do it with a group, but what's God's thought on that?
Well, so there's a word called dialectic. Have you ever heard that word before? And a dialectic is where you have two opposing truths that are held to be equally true. So, like humanity is both condemned to hell and saved to heaven, you know, is a dialectic. Like it's not like we're either, we're both, you know, is anyway, that's a different rabbit hole. Jesus is fully human and fully God is a dialectic. How can both be true? Well, that's a dialectic. And I think you have stumbled upon a dialectic. You should absolutely have a personal faith. You should absolutely develop your own personal faith. We talked about that in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is like, go into the closet, pray by yourself. Don't be like the showy hypocrites. So yeah, your personal faith is great. You go off, you do that. But even monks, by and large, who were doing that were still functioning in community. They had separated themselves from the world, but they were still, by and large, living with people. Some of way back, the hermits would go off into the desert and live in a cave. Even so, people would come to them. I have a feeling of, if you do that, though, long enough of just my own self, my faith, my spirituality, my faith, I developed everything, you end up on idolatry because the God that you end up with is one that has been completely conditioned and tailored to your own personal tastes. And it's in community that our understanding of God is shaped, because all of us kind of have different experiences and whatnot, and even as we come together, listening to other people. Like, I learn things about God by talking with you. You learn things about God by talking with me. It's a mutuality. So it expands our personal conception of who God is. So that when we go into the closet and pray, mm-hmm. we're not just praying to the old, to the bits of God that we like. We have to, or that we want to focus on. Mm-hmm. The community forms us. So in that sense, then you go to the community side, right? So if you completely abandon the self to the community, I feel like you're in a cult then.
Mm. Yeah, that's kind of what right? that is. Right.
So like if you go in and you were like, I will believe whatever the community believes and I will be shaped exactly by the community. I mean, yeah.
Do you think that some people might think of Christians that way?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing about it. I think so.
Yeah. Sure. Mm. Yep. So you still have to engage it where it's like, wait. And most of us have done that. Like, when you go to a church that doesn't fit you, doesn't mean that church is unfaithful, but it does mean that that part of you, that individual sense of yourself, mm-hmm. doesn't respond as well to the way that they practice their faith.
But does that not allow me to then, and I really hate to go back to this, but I remember years of my life spent going from church to church, mm-hmm. different denomination. I almost feel like it was my selfish whim mm-hmm. that I go out to go, all right, church, who's going to impress me today? I'm going to stay here. And not that that's what First Pres did, but honestly, yeah, it probably was. But I don't know that I don't think I went into it going, okay, First Pres, how are you going to make me? What are you going to do for me? I really didn't do that.
Yeah, it's not a product, right? Like, you don't want to get into, like, you know, choosing a restaurant. Mm-hmm. But it is hard. I mean, and you know, it's about being honest with yourself, mm-hmm. you know, like, why do I not like this church? Is it because I really just don't agree? Or is it because it makes me uncomfortable about some aspects of my own life? Like, those are different.
Sure. Like, and if that's the case, that doesn't mean you need to get up and leave.
Right.
You should probably buckle in.
That's right. You may want to strap in.
Exactly.
But it's really hard. You know, scripture, trying to make scripture say one thing is a tough deal. And I'm not sure it's the best way to go. And so on this type of issue, I think developing, you know, like last week we talked about meditating on the golden rule. And that's a personal thing, right? Like, you're not going to stand up and worship on Sunday and just start saying the golden rule over and over again, like during a hymn. So, but on the other hand, your understanding of the golden rule may be enhanced by having to be in spiritual community with other people, because everybody's going to have different ideas about mm-hmm. how things should go and how we should behave and how we should serve the community and whatnot. So then you have to be like, okay, I really need to apply that now.
I think where I was kind of thinking, or I have before, is I think that I think God and I need to have a better relationship one-on-one to then for that to be strengthened to the point of now I'm going to come into a community and I'm going to bring something to the table. Mm-hmm. I struggled with that throughout the years of thinking my faith wasn't strong enough or good enough to then go into a community mm-hmm. and say, hey, I'm Ram, and let me mm-hmm. offer, let me show you what I can offer. Mm-hmm. I was so uncomfortable with that. So then I felt, oh, that means I'm not close enough to God. Let me get close to God. And once I get there, then I'm going to come. I really do feel like you got to have both. You just got to have both. Because now, over time, and now that I've been a part of First Pres for 3+ years now, I feel that my relationship with God one-on-one has absolutely gotten better because of the group aspect, mm-hmm. because of the community aspect. I mean, that's just such a family there. And that's why I'm staying there, because mm-hmm. it is such a family. And I think that other people need to understand that if you don't think that you're walking right, well, join the crowd.
Yeah,
we're not walking right, and you're probably, maybe you can find the answer by yourself or you and God, but why don't you give a group a try? Right. And and that's one thing that I've learned to do better is listening more in a group. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of times when Ram's in a group,
Ram talking,
Ram talking.
I have the same problem.
Yes, you can relate. So and I think that's why I love Sunday school mm-hmm. so much, because it's another time for me to listen mm-hmm. and reflect. It's difficult sometimes. There's lessons to learn, you know. But that's how I learn. So if there are others out there, I think with that same struggle, then you're not alone.
Yeah,
you're not alone.
You're not. No, and it is about like finding those relationships and that comfort. I think, you know, I mean, it's helpful for me. Tosh and I were talking about this the other day. Like, we started seminary in 1997. It's a long time ago.
Wow.
The fall of 97.
25 plus years.
Yeah, 26
years ago. Wow.
So it's like, we have forgotten what it's like to, like, walk into church cold. Mm-hmm. Like, we've forgotten what it's like, like, to process different elements of our faith, because we had to do it, you know, 15 years ago or 18 right. years ago or 25 years ago. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't still process those things. And it does, certainly doesn't mean we by any means have any real answers. But, like, so when you come and you ask questions, it enriches me, because it's stuff I wouldn't have thought about necessarily, or I wouldn't have known people. Like, how do I know what people are thinking about if they don't, if we don't talk? Mm-hmm. Like, if I don't have you to talk with, it hurts me, because if I'm trying to write a sermon that I think is going to speak to where people are, and no one's telling me where they are, mm-hmm. it right. makes it a lot harder to do that. And so, you know, the relational aspect of church to me is so important, of the Christian community is so important. You know, with monasticism, back to the original deal, you know, that those guys that lived in community, that was hard work. They were doing it. They had removed themselves from the world, but they hadn't removed themselves from community. And Thomas Merton, who was a Trappist monk in the 20th century, had a line that's like, if you really want to test your ability to be faithful to Jesus, try living in community with a bunch of people 24/7. That's a paraphrase and a bad one. It was a really great line. But anyway, like he said, I mean, it tested his patience, his character, his love, his courage, I mean, everything. Because you're full-time in community with this group of people. It's hard.
It's very.
Very hard. So there's a lot, in that sense, I think monasticism really stretched people, and because you spend time alone, you spend time in your cell, mm-hmm. but you also have to run this monastery with other people. Mm-hmm. Whereas those hermits that would go off, that was a different type of test, but they were the masters of their domain. You know, like we talked about last week with the control thing, like when you have control, it's like they, in a lot of ways, over at least relationally, they had control. They might not have had control over the weather or their circumstances externally, but they certainly had control over their relationships, because they were by themselves.
Mm-hmm. And that's the part where I feel like that I can sort of gravitate to, and I think it's because I'm such a social public person that I think, oh, maybe sometimes I just need to get away. But then really when I think about that, I almost feel like when I feel like I want to get away, it's almost more like, no, I just want to run away. Mm-hmm. And then when mm-hmm. I feel that way, I'm like, no, I don't want to run away. Yeah. Maybe I need a break. Maybe yes. I need to take a few minutes. Maybe I need to yes. meditate. Maybe I need to pray. But I don't want to run away and say, uh-huh. I'm going to go off the grid and find God. I'll be back in a month and tell you all about it.
Yeah,
and tell
right.
you of my experience.
Right.
It just doesn't really work. I wish that it could mm-hmm. work that way. And I think we all can mm-hmm. use a break that way to some degree. But okay, well, that certainly helps. Well, here's a big question I have for you, Phil. It's I think that we're recording these podcasts during the window, so I won't date this too much, but it is sort of spring break.
Yeah.
It is spring break. Are you a snow skier?
Negative.
Never been?
Never been.
And never want to?
Never want to.
Wow.
I love the mountains. I love snow. But the idea of pushing me down a mountain at a high rate of speed uh-huh. with my my motor skills is bad, Ram. It's a bad idea. What about you?
No, I'm a horrible snow skier, mm-hmm. But I do ski. I don't know if you can say you're horrible and ski. I don't know. I can stay upright.
Okay, well, that's a win.
Yeah. It depends on how big the yeah. mountain is, mm-hmm. how big the hill mm-hmm. is. But no, I was just looking at the snow and the weather that the west side mm-hmm. of the world is getting right now, and it just made me think of I'd like to be on a ski slope
yeah.
right now.
My brother lives in Colorado. He skis all the time, and he says it's like the best skiing season they've had in decades.
That's what I've heard.
That so if you heard. Are a skier, I hope you get to go to Colorado soon.
Yes.
Because it's going to start melting.
Stay off the double black diamonds.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Just, that's
don't
all.
Do those things where the helicopter drops you off.
Right. Yeah, I'm not one of those Red Bull extreme right. guys. So, but okay. Well, thanks, Phil.
Yeah, thanks, Ram.
Yeah.
We will be back with the final episode of Ram Asks a Question for March next week. And then Tasha's going to pick up And she is going to be talking about N.T. Wright's book, Surprise by Hope, with some special guests from the community.
Excellent.
Some of our pastor colleagues from First United Methodist and St. John's. So those will be really interesting and very different from this, Ram.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So anyway.
That's okay. Different from Ram is good sometimes.
I've been watching a lot of Siskel and Ebert online. Is just, I don't know why, on YouTube, watching old shows. And I keep wanting to close these things with, until next week, the balcony is closed.
We should make it a thing.
We are of an age. Anyway. All right, everybody. Peace.
See you guys.
Hey, you've been listening to Ram Asks a Question, part of the One Prez Pod. Check out our other content on this podcast. Follow us on social media at First Presbyterian on Facebook and Instagram. And check out our website, onepres.org, for more content, sermons, Sunday school classes, and devotionals from First Presbyterian Church. Peace.